You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Somebody in Soul, and we got our host, Big Joe, in the house. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We are right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. D-Ray, I thank you for starting off with me. How you doing today? D-Ray, did I lose you? I think I lost D-Ray. She might be checking lines. But anyway, we're right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe.
How are we doing?
And we are live right here having a wonderful time. I have a pretty good, I believe it was a wonderful interview that is coming up with Whitney. A lady who experienced some things, and she's going to share them with us right here tonight. D-Ray, are you back? Are you with me? I know you was probably out checking our lines.
Joe, I'm here.
Hello.
Hey, it's Trina. Hey. Me too.
Hello. Hello, Miss Trina, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I can't wait to listen to your guest.
Well, we thank you for joining in tonight with us. We're going to get a couple of songs in if D-Ray is ready, and then we're going to jump into the interview and the whole nine right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe, right here on We Talk Radio. D-Ray, are you ready?
Sometimes you have to speak victory.
Got 6 minutes. Twitch it, twitch it. Listen, don't you worry about it. Because out of all of that, I still got to cry out to him and say, Lord, deliver me. I say, Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me. Hurt me. And bruh, I ain't think it hurt me, so I had to say, deliver me, yeah. 'Cause all I seem to do is hurt me, oh Lord. Anybody can testify? Hurt me. And I say, Lord,
your host, Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe, sitting here with my program director, B. Ray.
Hello.
How you doing today, B?
Hello.
And B, we have a extraordinary guest today. Miss Whitney, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
That is good. I wanted to talk to Miss Whitney. We had a discussion. I won't say where I know her from, but we got to conversating and talking, and she told me about her experience, and I felt like it was a really good testimony that someone needed to hear. She had a situation where she had passed away and was brought back. And she was able to remember a lot of the things she saw. And we just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about it. Is that all right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's an interesting story that I've spent a long time kind of reconciling with, and I'm really excited to be able to share it, especially in this kind of medium. So absolutely, ask away.
Okay. Do you mind giving us some back
contact?
A little
bit? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's see. To kind of keep it more about the experience that I shared with you, the backstory of it was that I was addicted to drugs for about 13 years, mostly heroin, and this whole situation was brought on by. I got my hands on some bad drugs, and I believe it's called crocodile heroin. However, I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, December 26, 2013, I ingested my drugs, and about 20 hours later, I had to crawl on my stomach through the parking garage at Methodist Hospital in Dallas, and my heart stopped on the floor of the waiting room in the ER. Then the next thing I remember was about 17 days later. I also passed away again during one of the four surgeries it took to save my life. And then I had two surgeries after that to reconstruct a skin graft on my hip. So during the coma, even though it was medically induced, this is probably the hardest part to explain is, you know, the whole reason why we're having this conversation. It's just, it's hard to, I guess, put into words some of the things that I remember. So I will do my best. but as far as, you know, like what I remember this, oh goodness. You know, you always hear about people whenever they have these kinds of experiences, how they see this light or the warmth or they felt safe. I felt none of that. I felt cold and dark and alone.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We also have Ms. Kia D and Métis on the Zoom call, so they're listening in as well.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So, would y'all like to ask me? How would y'all like to continue?
So,
you
said you was addicted to several drugs, and it caused you to have a reaction. You made it to Methodist Hospital. And you was in there for like 14 days or so? Is that correct?
I was actually in there for about 6 months.
Oh, about 6 months. Okay. So during that time...
I was in a coma for about 17 days.
Okay. So
So during that time that you was in the coma, what does it feel like, or what were you feeling?
Well, the first thing that I really remember, and I, let me preface this by saying, at this point in my life, I had lost my mother earlier that year, and as I told you this before, I believed in God for the sole purpose to be mad at him. I was angry and I was hurt, and I couldn't understand why my mom had died. So I feel like, and let me also just say this, my beliefs have drastically changed since this point in my life. I've got, I'll have 2 years clean next month, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my beliefs.
But, congratulations.
Well, thank you. But, you know, that, all that being said, although my heart is by far with God now, at this point in time in my life, it was not. And so I feel like all the things that I saw was in some way to, I guess, kind of bring me where I am now. So even though it took me a little while, I guess I'm a little hard-headed. So the first thing that I remember that I can't explain with science is, it was almost like it was like a green tint, like it was like a sea of people, but I couldn't really see any faces. I could see the guy next to me, but I wouldn't be able to pick him out of a crowd. I remember he had blue eyes. And it was like we were walking through, like imagine like sand being up to your knees, and you have to like wade through mud or sand or something, like something being restricted to your walking. And I remember that, and I remember being confused, and hundreds of people, like we were right next to each other, like arms linked close, you know, we were really, really close. And I remember looking at this person next to me, and this person looking as scared as I am. And then the next thing I remember, the only way I could describe it would be blood animals. It's just kind of hard to explain. It was like creatures, but they were made out of like a red liquid, like you see ink or blood when you drop a drop of ink in water and how it ribbons out. It was like that, but they were creatures. And then from there, the next thing I remember vividly, and the most vivid part of this entire experience for me, was sitting with my mother, having full conversations about all my many sins. And that is vivid and real, and I could see her, I could touch her, she was real. And I remember having conversations with her about things that happened after she had died. So,
Oh, wow. It looks like we lost her.
Yeah. They was on the speakerphone because they couldn't get into the room. They're going to call right back. Go ahead.
Idea of what we have.
Okay. let's see. Let me try to figure a great way to recap this. Okay, well, I do want to explain the things that I remember and that I can't explain are, okay, so the first thing that I remember, and it's too far back, the first thing I remember is the only way I could describe it was say it was like a green world. And, you know, with my research, you know, after that I've experienced all this, I would assume that's what purgatory was. Again, it's all up for interpretation. So, that was the first thing that I saw that was kind of like, I would imagine probably like the scariest part for me, because I obviously didn't know what was going on. And then followed by that, the next thing that I remember seeing were these, I don't know if the right word is animals, creatures, beings. Then it looked like they were, again, like when you dropped ink into water, they were like ribbons of blood or red, really. And I remember being scared. I don't remember, like, you know, touching them or running from them or anything like that. I remember being scared and, like, I don't know if I would consider it praying, but begging, whatever this was, to stop. And then the next thing that I remember is having conversations with my mother. And we were in a black room. I remember vividly reaching out and touching her arm and saying, like, nope, this isn't real. You're dead. Angrily. Because, I mean, I guess part of me blames my mother for passing away. She passed from cancer, but she also smoked for 30 years and drank and lived in the healthiest of lifestyles. So I imagine I blamed her too, so I was mad. And then I spoke with her about all these things. And while all this was going on, I could hear her sister and my aunt and my uncle, who are deeply, deeply spiritual people. And the best part of this whole situation of me going through all this, having to learn how to walk again, having to do all of this, was the fact that my aunt and I are best friends now. She came every day to the hospital. She's held my hand and guided me through my spiritual awakening. So I have obviously had a guard for her. But I remember hearing her and my uncle praying over me. I mean, while I was in the hospital.
I can hear her.
So. Yeah. And then I woke up a few days later, and at this point in my life, I had a very scientific way of thinking. So I didn't talk about this experience for a long time because I can't explain the feelings and the sensory awareness that I had in any state.
Okay, I'm going to ask the rest of the panel if they have any questions to unmute your mic, and I'll let you ask your question. But right now, I'm not trying to take over Big Joe's show, but hey, I'm coordinating it. So you're telling us a wonderful story, and I mean, I'm pretty sure our listeners have something they want to ask. It looks like Kia D has a question for you.
Well, I really just wanted to say welcome and thank you for being here and being so open. One of the things that I can't say is, you know, you're being very vivid about the description of things that you've seen, and we appreciate that. In order to understand it, you know, we would need to, I guess, see how you saw it. And so we appreciate you illustrating the way you are, and it gives us a great vivid picture of what happened to you. And again, we appreciate you being so open and willing to come on, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, but we truly appreciate it.
Okay. Anyone else?
That was basically it. I just wanted to kind of give us, just to give us a idea of what you went through. I remember you was telling us I remember you telling me that you heard your aunt praying, even though you wasn't necessarily you can still hear things that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, the positive side of that was that I heard my aunt and uncle praying. The negative side of that is I heard my very angry sister, like, curse me out. But, you know, like, you always hear about that stuff, like, on TV, and when you hear about coma. Granted, mine was a medically induced coma, but I heard things. I remember I could open my eyes. I couldn't move, but I could open my eyes, and I remember thinking that I was in my coffin, because I would open my eyes, and my whole family would be around my hospital bed, but I couldn't speak. I had a feeding tube in, I couldn't speak, I couldn't move, so I just, in my head, just thought that was it, that this is just what happens, and that you just kind of, I guess, float around after that. I mean, I said before, it's really hard to explain some of this stuff because, I mean, how do you explain some of this stuff? But yeah, like, I could hear them praying for my health.
Just the best way you can. I mean, again, you're doing such an excellent job in describing what you saw. I think everybody can get somewhat of a just your image in our head of what you're going through. So just explain it the best way you can.
What I've realized, especially in recent years in my sobriety, going through rehab and stuff, because this happens, you know, the end of 2013, the beginning of 2014, I was in the hospital for a month, and then I went from there to a inpatient physical rehab facility where I learned how to walk again, and from there, at-home healthcare. So this was a roller coaster for a while, and even still, that wasn't enough to get me clean. I used for another 4 years after this. So that just shows you right there what drug addiction really is.
Now, that's the scary part, because you said that you went through a whole, what I would consider a life-changing moment,
mm-hmm.
So where you were brought back, and you knew what you saw, but yet still the addiction to drugs still had you to where 4 years after this, you were still... Or you didn't get completely clean until 4 years after you
My addiction got much worse. Much worse. It wasn't until after all this that I experienced homelessness and began to, you know, run the streets and did everything that I did on the street to survive or to use or what have you. And again, I feel like, you know, I met my husband in those 4 years. So perhaps I just wasn't... Everything happened the way it did for a reason. And you also have to kind of realize, like, even after this experience, now I'm getting more pissed.
Okay. We have a question from...
Did you have a question?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, D-Ray. Matey, I just noticed that you might have a question over there.
Hold on,
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
I have missed most of this, and I am sick about this, because I have listened to, over the past 2 years, so many near-death experiences, and I'm so infatuated by it. So I've missed a lot of it, but what I want to know is that I'm assuming that you went to heaven. Correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
In your near-death experience, you were in heaven?
Oh, yeah, about, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
She mentioned,
What I want to know is what were your feelings? Was it because a lot of people that experience, that say they feel immense love that they can't even define.
Right. I felt the opposite. It was very dark and cold, and I felt very alone.
Yeah, she mentioned something about being in purgatory. She think that's where she was.
That's what I see. I mean, there were no signs that didn't say, you know, welcome to purgatory.
Okay.
but I feel with the, at least with the knowledge that I have in my faith, I believe that this is something like that. I certainly didn't feel threatened, but I did not feel the warm engulfing love of God at all.
You didn't feel comfort, you felt the actual opposite.
Right, I felt comfort.
And this is where you encountered all of the visitors you spoke with.
I'm sorry?
Everyone that you said you saw and spoke with, this is where you were when you spoke with them.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is a little hard to hear you.
Your phone is breaking.
The question was the people that you encountered. She said was that when you was in the purgatory stage, or when did you encounter those people?
When I saw my mom, again, like it was just dark, like a black room, but it wasn't. When I saw her, it didn't feel, that was the only time that I didn't feel, you know, the cold and dark and the abyss. When I saw her, I didn't feel that, again, like the all-encompassing love of God that I expected to feel whenever I passed away, even how mad I was, I still expect, you know. It was comfort seeing my mom, and, you know, she made me feel safe while we were talking. But it wasn't like we were sitting in chairs. It's really hard to explain. It's like I could see her and touch her. She was standing right in front of me, but we just stood there right in front of each other and talked. And like I could reach out and touch her, and I remember vividly. I remember the feeling of her arm under my hand. I remember that.
Oh wow.
And like that's probably the hardest part for me to reconcile with, and it took the longest, was to accept that was real, that I wasn't just imagining it or hallucinating, that was real. And then as far as my other family members, that was whenever I could open my eyes in the hospital, that I would see them and hear them. But yeah, the only person that I saw through this experience was my mother. And like I said, she had passed away about 6 months prior.
Okay.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Glad you survived it. Glad you're here to tell us about it. And I hope that with you telling your story, I hope that still is like your therapy. You know.
Oh, absolutely. just love this. You know, for a long time, I was the sole survivor in Dallas County of a crocodile heroin.
Oh, wow.
So essentially what crocodile heroin is like, I'm afraid to Google it. I think it's like gasoline, and it's just, I couldn't tell. I had no idea until the doctors told me, you know, days later. So I get to tell this story, and I get to show this huge scar, and hopefully scare straight some newer people to recovery.
Okay. Kia, do you have another question?
I do. Again, thank you for sharing. I'm hoping you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Oh. I can, yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. So once you realize that you possibly were in the purgatory state, after you really actually realized and came to the fruition that you had been in this position and this was something real, what did you actually realize? I don't know if you've actually done a little research. I did hear you say you did research. Once you realized that it was purgatory and not heaven, did you have any feelings then? Were you angry at God? Because I remember earlier you talked about that at that time, when you were really, really angry with God, you know, what was an experience after that? You know, was it a realization in any way?
Well, and
interesting question that I'm actually kind of excited to answer. Well, I don't think that I realized what I was experiencing until well after. I certainly didn't have, you know, the awareness of it while I was experiencing it. I remember the first time that I was able to wake up and, like, stay awake and, like, realize the world around me, it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and there was Married with Children was on the TV in my hospital. I remember that very specifically, because, I mean, it's Married with Children, recognizable. But I remember opening my eyes and seeing that, and I couldn't speak, and I couldn't move my hands or my feet, but I could look around, and I remember thinking, like, why? Like, why did I end up here? I can remember, but I just didn't understand what I had seen. And so for the next, goodness, weeks, months, I had to come to terms with what I saw. And it's odd to explain this next feeling, to feel gratitude and anger towards your faith at the same time is extremely confusing. Because I was grateful to be alive most of the time. There were times whenever I felt like I had come back long because I was still using. I left the hospital with a higher addiction when I got there. I was getting 0.8 milligrams of Dilaudid, which is stronger than street heroin, every 8 minutes. So by the time I left, I was, you know, even more hopeless. And it took the experiences that I gained in the street to really bring me to the gratitude I feel to be here now. I didn't feel that gratitude immediately, and I didn't realize it was purgatory immediately, but now in my recovery, a lot of things have kind of come together for me, and I'm just, instead of feeling anger, I'm just filled with, like, overwhelming love and gratitude for God. Yeah. And maybe I had to experience all of that to get me here.
Oh, wow. Big joke?
I was a particularly hard-headed case for the Lord. He had to pull out all the stops to open my eyes, I guess.
Right. Any final comments from the panel? Again, it was great having you on, and let me say a quick prayer for you real quick. Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for our wonderful guest and her lovely testimony. May that testimony reach someone else who's in need of the same. May she have the courage to make her testimony known to the world, maybe even perhaps write a book about it. May she be the one to bless others that's going through. May she do all that she can to help others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Won't he make you
down and die.
He won't make you
free.
Down. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth leaving. You thought I was a devil.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.